Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And it will work. DeAndre Baker, Taco Charlton, Juan Thornhill. They'll be doing some activities up here in the next couple days. So Malik Herring, he'll be up here. He had the knee ACL. He's just rehabbing that. And Armani Watts will also be up here. He had a foot fracture and is doing well. Just Kyle Long is also improving. Excuse me, he's improving and doing really a great job with his rehab. Likewise, he will not be up here for this go round for the next couple of days. But he has been rehabbing with us. We've got 30 players that will be here and. We're excited about that. We're excited to give them some work. You're not going to see a lot of teamwork as much as you will 7-on-7s as we go through this. We're glad to be back up here in St. Joe. We love the hospitality that they give us here at Missouri Western State University, from their president on down. It's just all class and. That's why we've obviously returned back here. So, and it's a great setup. They've got tremendous facilities, which give us an opportunity to get our work done. We're out of the city and secluded here a bit where we can really focus on football and the challenge that we have ahead. We've got tremendous schedule that's set before us, and we understand that. Some heck of a football team's on there, and we've got to make sure that we're ready to go, and there's no better place to do it than here. Just touching a little bit on the COVID situation, we've got about 90% of our players have taken the shot, and so and are in that protocol there as far as what the league's put forward for us. So 100% of the staff, they've all been vaccinated, so that's a positive. There's some stats but 79, or you could say 80% NFL players have at least one of the shots. So that's within the National Football League, and there's six teams that are over 90%. So we're glad to be in that. They're 90% or over, and we're glad to be in that area there. So we're one of the teams that where the players have really. Have made, they've challenged themselves to get things done and take care of business. So there are different protocols that take place for vaccinated players and unvaccinated players. But again, that's all for safety purposes, which it's an important part of it as you go forward. And the league's trying to do the best they possibly can to make that as simple a process as possible. There'll be some changes. So we're glad the fans are going to be allowed out. There'll be a couple of things that we have to do because of the pandemic and the way it sits, but we're glad to have our fans back out. And as you guys know, you did a great job of this last year with us and throughout the off season of their little things that are set up for the media also that they've got to do. So with that, again, we're excited. We're excited to be here and ready to go. And with that, I'm going to just let you guys take it from there.
We'll go first to Sam McDowell. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Andy. How's it going?
Good, Sam. Thank you.
I think I asked you some version of this the day after the Super Bowl, but I wanted to ask you in reflection now that the offseason is nearly complete, which is, you won 16 games last year. You made it to the Super Bowl. So Do you really harp on that during the off season as you're going through schematic changes, roster changes, or do you harp on the way it ended and say, we need to make maybe more changes than I thought because of those things?
Yeah, well, we thought, you evaluate all of that, probably all the above, and you want to be a better football team is what you want to do. You want to come out of it that way, and you want, and in our case, you want us to be able to stay on top the best way you possibly can. And so we made changes where needed. Obviously, there are people that leave every team, and there are people that come on board with every team, and that's how it goes. And we think we made some changes where we've got great competition, and which should help elevate us as a team, as an overall team.
Let's go next to Herbie T.O.P. Go ahead, Herbie.
Hey, Coach, looking good as always. Hope you're well.
Oh, thanks, Herbie. I wore the shirt for you.
Hey, Coach, we obviously didn't get a chance to talk to you between the break in minicamp and now, but Frank Clark's situation, two-part question here for you. The first one is, what was your reaction to the news on his two arrests? And I'll follow up with the other question afterwards.
Yeah, so listen, I obviously stay in communication with all our players during the break the best way I possibly can. So I have had a chance to talk with Frank. I'm not going to get into that. There's nothing that has taken place up to this point. Frank will be here, and we'll go forward with that. And obviously, we keep tabs on it, and his people will keep tabs on their side of it, and we move forward. So that's where we're at now. But he will be here, not now, but in a couple days here when the veterans come in.
And Coach, as a follow-up, with the uncertainty of his situation, if the league does take action, what is your comfort level right now at the defensive end position that you'll be able to fill it if he misses time for the season?
Yeah, so listen, we brought old 97 back and put him back in the mix here last week, so I think that's a good addition, and I think we're going to be okay there. And we've got a couple of young guys that we think are good football players too, so.
Next to Pete Sweeney.
Let me add this to you too, and just a reminder that Chris was working both spots, so we have the flexibility to move Chris out there, and that's where the Jerron Reed part of this, I think, was a big addition that Veach added to us.
You are listening to Andy Reid's press conference as the Chiefs prepare for training camp.
Opportunity to speak with Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey earlier today, and considering that and going into a rookie camp, top two second rounders there, what are your expectations for each specifically, and what have you seen out of them so far this offseason?
Yeah, Pete, listen, I think they're good. These are both good football players. I think the experience that they got in the OTA period was good for them. But now, listen, now we put the pads on, and we'll see. I really think that that'll determine how things go here down the road. But both of them got enough reps to where they get familiar with the defense and the offense, and in both cases there. So I think they're going to be fine. They showed signs of that, but let's see how they do. It's not just the one day in pads. You know, it's easy to say, okay, pads. Well, it's pad after pad after pad after pad, and that mental and physical fatigue that you get through training camp. And so how are you going to handle that and still be able to go out and play well?
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, look forward to seeing you in person finally starting tomorrow, right?
Yes, that's right.
I got a couple of things for you. First of all, you mentioned DeAndre Baker, Juan Thornhill, and Taco earlier. Can you share with us how much they're going to be doing, not just the next few days, but maybe when camp starts? Are they going to be full go? And Brad will have one more question as well.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how they do here as we move forward. We've got a close eye on them. They have been working out and doing a good job with it. But let's just see how they do here, Adam, and we'll take it day by day, and I'll kind of determine how we go with them once the veterans get in.
Okay. And also, you said that about 90% of the players have been vaccinated. That's, some teams I think are there around the league, but that's a pretty high number. What do you attribute that to? Is there something you can put?
There's six teams. There's six teams sitting here right now, Adam, as I walked in here. We try to stay up on that. So, listen, I think it's guys just talking to each other. I think it's trusting your medical staff, which ends up being important in this. Not everybody understands and is been educated on this, or listen, I guess maybe they have been educated. They're not listening as close, but and then you've got to make a decision. We all have had to do this. So you've got to make a decision on how you want to go forward. And the league's got their policy if you don't have it, and they've got policy if you have had it. And obviously if you've had it, it's a little bit easier road. I mean, the other one's very similar to last year if you haven't had it. And that wasn't the easiest thing to get through, I think, for everybody.
Next to Aaron Ladd. Go ahead, Aaron.
Andy, hope you're well. Y'all were gone for a long time, so we had to find something to talk about. And Travis Kelce's last name seemed to come up. Did you know that it was pronounced Kelce, or had you been calling him Kelce, and the reaction to that?
Well, I don't know how many Kelces there are in the Irish, race there, but it's Kelce seems more Irish to me than Kelce, but that, it could be either one. I'm not sure. I haven't done the whole heritage of it, but it sounded okay. I've had a chance to coach two Kelces though, I guess, huh? Right.
Let's go next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey coach. Good to see you, and always appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet.
The Cleveland Indians have announced that they're going to be changing their name to the Guardians for next season. And obviously Washington has dropped their nickname. When the Chiefs dropped some of the Native American imagery, you talked about how that the team has listened to the Native American community. But, with these clubs changing their name, what are your thoughts about the Chiefs nickname? And if that's something that you think will stay forever, or is that something that needs to be thought about?
I think Clark and Mark have done a tremendous job with that. So they're on top of that. And our brothers here from the Indian community, they've been tremendous. And voicing their opinions on it, and have worked with us, and I know we've celebrated that. So it's I don't know other than that. I mean, that's a good question maybe to ask them, but I know it's been a very positive relationship there with the community. So
let's go next to Brandon Zenner. Good, Brandon.
You're listening to Andy Reid's media availability
coach,
today as the Chiefs prepare for Chiefs training camp.
Missouri, watching the facilities. I'm just wondering what you guys take away from camp up here in St. Joe, getting away as a team that helps you guys going into a new season.
Yeah, so, I mean, listen, we come up, it's a time for camaraderie and bringing things together as a team. It's hard work. There's no shortcuts, obviously. We're going to try to make sure we cover everything we possibly can. But there's this concentration of football that you take in here. It's, you're sleeping in a dorm, you're eating over, in the dorm, and you're doing all of that. I mean, you're here, and it's football kind of 24/7 right now. That's how it works. And, we're going to keep it, take it day by day, like we've always done, and make sure we try to do the best we can each day to get ourselves, becoming a better football team.
Let's go next to Matt McMullen. Good, Matt.
Hey coach, so you've spoken before about how OTA's minicamp, that's all for laying a foundation for particularly these rookie players that you have coming in. What do you expect from them coming in this weekend in terms of their preparation from what they learned during that time?
Yeah. So listen, I mean, the nice thing about this is that everybody can kind of get in a flow before the veterans come in. So whether it's the coaches doing the install, whether it's the players taking the first 3 days of practice that they're going to repeat here in a couple of days to do, whether it's your veteran quarterbacks getting into the flow before the other guys come in. I mean, these are all positive things that take place in rookie the rookie training camp. It is condensed, though, because we're not doing team activities. We're doing 7-on-7s as opposed to team. But we'll work through all of the other things versus air with the run game and so on there. Yeah.
We've got four more. We'll go right down the line, starting with Harold. Go ahead, Harold.
Andy, good to see you. When it comes to having that rookie mini camp and having those OTAs, can you quantify how much more advanced you are, even when it comes to little things like Chris Jones switching to DN that you can do in training camp, where you kind of just snap into things and just go with the rhythm now, as opposed to especially last season where you had a very condensed training camp. How much more times, if you will, are you more advanced and ready to go this time around?
Yeah, I think it has a chance. Now, how we handle this here, Harold, is the important part, right? But it has a chance to have given us a little runway there to lead into training camp, especially with all the new people that have come on board here. And so, to me, this was a great time to be able to have the OTAs. I mentioned it last year. I felt sorry for the teams that had an influx of new players and or new staffs come in and then had to play catch up. So this at least gave us an opportunity with all the new fellows that are on the team to get ingrained a little bit in their minds, the offense, defense, and special teams, and then be able to hit training camp where they're not as worried about knowing all of that stuff as they are getting themselves through where they can actually play and not do quite as much thinking.
Go next to Darren Smith. Go ahead, Darren.
Good afternoon, Coach. A quick two-part question. Darren, this is your 29th year coaching in the NFL. What message do you give to the rookies who are trying to make the team and those that you expect to make the team, for them to get their career off on a good path and then have a follow-up?
Yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. It's 29 years, son of a gun. It is a while. It's been a while. And I love every minute of it. I think you guys know that. So it's an honor to coach in the National Football League, and especially to be here in Kansas City with these folks here are tremendous, and we got a good football team. But every year is different, as we know, going into this. And so it's so important that you go through the whole process of getting yourself ready for the training. Don't take anything for granted. Take every play that you get, every install that's given to you, study it, analyze it, get better at it. It's you can always improve your game. It doesn't matter what position you are, how long you've been in the league, doesn't matter. So, really focus in on that, and then let's come out as a better football team than we came in as. And that ends up being important likewise.
Next is Sarin Petro. Go ahead, Sarin.
Coach, I'm just curious, just kind of like housekeeping. I know you said, the Frank Clark thing will come forward, but here for us, we have no information about what kind of timeline there is that how this goes through. Are you aware of what the timeline is? Is there a date that you're thinking, hey, we should hear something about this date? Is it different?
We've got to just play it out here. I think we'll just play it out here, Sarin, and just see how that works. I really don't have specifics for you. Nothing's really taken place there yet. And so we'll just see how things go down the road with that.
Okay. And then I asked this of Patrick, not asking you to comment anything on what's going on with the Packers, but you guys seem to have such a great relationship, Patrick and the city, Patrick and the Chiefs, you and Patrick. And, that looked like it was that way in Green Bay, but obviously it's not that way anymore. When you look at that, do you have a reaction, say, okay, hey, does that help solidify the organization and say, we got to make sure that this relationship is strong with our quarterback, and how do you go about keeping that relationship strong?
Yeah. So, that's what everybody does it different. So I don't know. I'm not involved with that. That's like talking about somebody else's marriage. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. So I don't know what took place there. But I do know the things that we can control are things here, and we try to keep the communication as open as we possibly can. We've done that in the past, whether it started with Donovan or Michael Vick or the guys that we had there, Garcia, all those guys. We've tried to keep everything open with communication. So if you do leave, you understand kind of where we lie, but we also want you to be able to come back and feel comfortable with all the things that you've accomplished. But communication, I think, is probably the key to what we try to do. And right or wrong. So it's hard to argue with the Packers because they've done a heck of a job, man.
Last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Andy, great shirt. Great to see you.
All right, Nate. Thank you.
Just want to ask you two quick questions here. If 90% of the guys are vaccinated, what is your message to the 10%? Obviously if they are with you as the season goes on, just the what is your message to them? And then secondly, now that this is Pat's fifth training camp, what are you most eager, interested, anxious to see from him as he progresses further in his career?
Yeah, listen, I don't have anything to say one way or the other with the 10%. You know, they know the guys that have been vaccinated and haven't been vaccinated. They know all the coaches have been. So it's not anything that I'm hoping that they all stay safe. That's what I hope. And that they don't get the virus. And that's most important in my eyes. However it's done, let's keep people safe. And that's where I'm at. But tell me the second part just again, Nate. What was the second part to that? Did you have a second question?
Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Brad. Just the idea of you've seen Pat at the beginning. You've seen Pat, yeah, obviously, when he became the starter. Just what's it like for you, and what are you most eager, interested to see from him in year five of camp?
Yeah, so he's been focused all offseason. He's always trying to better his game. And so he'll work on that. He has specific things that we've talked about, and he'll dig in on that and work on it. He started it in the offseason program, and he'll continue to do it. He's always looking for that next thing that makes him even better than what he is now. And that's the part you love about him. He has that type of personality. He wants to be the best, and he it's not just talk. He wants you to be honest with him, direct, coach him, right? Coach him up as you go forward with it.
Coach, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, take care now. Thanks, guys.
That was Andy Reid meeting with the media today. There certainly was a lot to dive into. We'll get to some of it coming up in a little bit. We'll be joined by Brett McMurphy. He works for Stadium. There is a lot of moving and shaking going on right now in college football. We'll be joined by one of the best and top college football insiders coming up in about 10 minutes. You're listening to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison, Rob Brinton. There's no time for introductions. We got a lot to get into. We are officially at the end of Chiefs offseason. On Monday, everybody will be in St. Joe. Fans will have the opportunity to go. We will get our first look at the 2021-2022 Kansas City Chiefs. But a lot of this conversation over the next 3 to 4 weeks as we inch closer and closer to the season is how we ended up at this place. This offseason, to me, was virtually defined by one thing: pain. The Chiefs got embarrassed in a way that they have not been embarrassed since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback of this team. Now, we can go over the reasons on why they got embarrassed in the Super Bowl, but at this point, I think we all know why the Chiefs ended up on such a lopsided game the way that they did back in February. And when you think about this offseason, it is virtually the same philosophy that they had heading into last offseason. You remember, their slogan was "Run it back." Hey, we won the Super Bowl. We're bringing back everybody. We're doing it the exact same way that we did it because we're better than everybody else. When you really think about this roster, their roster is virtually the same as it was last year, except for one difference. Sure, there's going to be natural attrition. You don't have Sammy Watkins, but let's not kid ourselves. He wasn't available for the most part anyway. I love my guy Mike Pinnell, but Mike Pinnell played in 15% of the snaps last year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Bashaud Breeland. There's always going to be turnover on your roster. But for the most part, the core, the heart, the soul of this team remains intact. What's different is the offensive line. The pain is knowing that you should have that extra ring on your finger, seeing Tampa Bay virtually rub it in your face all offseason, and making sure that you never put yourself back in that place. That's why you trade a first-round pick to go pick up Orlando Brown. That's why you make Joe Tooney the highest-paid interior offensive lineman in the NFL. That's why, on top of you making a move to pick up Austin Blythe, who very easily could have been the starter for this team, not just for this year, but for years to come, when you get the opportunity to pick up arguably the best offensive lineman in the Big 12, you go grab him in Creed Humphrey out of Oklahoma. That's why at right guard, you bring in a guy like Kyle Long for competition. While you make maybe one of the best diamond in the rough draft picks in Trey Smith. this team is almost the same team that we knew and celebrated back in 2020. But I do think there is a renewed focus, a renewed energy, and there certainly is a renewed attention to detail. One thing I thought last year that Mahomes' greatness and what their skill position players were able to do was it was able to mask that their offensive line wasn't good for most of the season. This team couldn't run the football effectively last year. We knew what the holes were. We knew what the deficiencies were. But being exposed in the way the Chiefs were exposed really made them look inward and evaluate their roster and drastically shape and reshape the foundation of this team. I think this team is better equipped going into this season than they were last season. Even though last year's whole mantra was to run it back, it is hard to wipe away the pain of how they got embarrassed in one offseason. And now you bring in an offensive line who I think is much more capable of going at people that I think is going to open up the run game in a way that last year's offensive line couldn't. This is another one of those teams that could win 13 games, that could win 14 games, that can be one of the three best teams in the NFL and the hands-down favorite to win the Super Bowl. We'll talk a lot of Chiefs today, 913-576-7610. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, we'll switch gears temporarily. We'll be joined by Brett McMurphy. He covers college football for Stadium.com. It would appear that Texas and Oklahoma are both heading to the Southeastern Conference. We'll get Brett McMurphy's analysis on it next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Drive.
As someone who loves following sports and especially the media side, this is a time where you really know who's connected and plugged in at whatever their field is. There might not be someone more plugged into the landscape of college football than our next guest. His name is Brett McMurphy. He covers college football at Stadium Network. So he recently tweeted, Texas and Oklahoma will notify Big 12 next week of the intention to leave the league, sources told Stadium. Quote, the feeling is then they will notify the SEC next week to officially apply for league membership, sources tell Brett McMurphy. Brett, we appreciate you coming on. How do we get to this point where Texas and Oklahoma are now leaving, it would appear, for the SEC?
Well, I was told that Texas and Oklahoma and or representatives of Texas and Oklahoma had actually started talks or reached out to the SEC back in December. to kind of kick the tires and say, hey, look, if we're leaving the Big 12, would you guys have any interest in us? Those conversations obviously continued over several weeks, over several months. And then it got to the point where the SEC notified all of their presidents that Oklahoma and Texas had an interest in joining the league. And so it's kind of proceeded like that in the past several weeks and in the past few months. And so now we're to the point where Texas and Oklahoma will officially notify the Big 12 of their intentions to leave the league. Why now? Well, they want to do it before the grant of rights expires. And I know that's 4 years away, but the hope is one of two things. One, you stay with the league for the remainder of your contract with the Big 12. That's 4 years, which would be very awkward. Then you can leave. You don't have to pay a penalty. Or you can leave early, and as we've seen in other, when other schools change conferences, Maryland, Rutgers, et cetera, you reach a settlement with your former conference to go join your new conference. And I think if OU, Texas, and the SEC could all three get what they wanted, this thing would take place in 2022. Ultimately, how much that will cost Oklahoma and Texas, ultimately how much the lawyers have to get involved, will determine if it is in 2022 or maybe not until a few years after that.
Right now we're talking to Brett McMurphy, the best college football insider in the game. He works at Stadium Network, talking about Texas and Oklahoma heading to the SEC. This might be a stupid question, so you can stop me at any point. What's the motivation for Texas and Oklahoma outside of money? I'm sure there is a big bag of gold at the end of the rainbow for both of these teams. But if you're Oklahoma especially, you've dominated this league. You've got a clear path to the college football playoff every single year. Why join another conference and make it a more difficult road for you to get to the college football playoff? Outside of money, what do you think the motivation is for Oklahoma and Texas to make this move?
Hey, that's not a stupid question. You're a college football expert. You nailed it. It's money. That's the number one reason. The number two reason is money. And guess what? Number three is money. But besides that, this is a long-term play. This sets them up for the next 20 to 50 years. They go to a conference that's not going to splinter, that's not going to lose members. They're going to increase their media rights value from approximately $35 or $40 million a year to estimates have them at $60 million a year. So take money out of the equation, and you bring up a good question. Several people have asked me that today. Why does OU leave a conference that they've dominated in and they've won several years in a row? I think the big reason is, take a step back. The college football playoff is going to 12 teams. If you win the Big 12 conference, you're going to be in the college football playoff. If you finish second in the Big 12, there's not necessarily a guarantee you're going to get in. If you finish second in the SEC, if you finish third in the SEC, you are in a 12-team college football playoff. And going back to the previous 7 years of the college football playoff, I actually looked this up. If we had a 12-team format in the past 7 years, three of those years, the SEC would have got four of the 12 teams in the college football playoff. And so I think OU's looking at it that way, that, you know, hey, look, we can still compete for a conference championship. We can go head-to-head with Bama and A&M and LSU and everybody else. But, you know, we don't have to win the championship and still get into the playoff. I don't think that's necessarily the case right now. It's championship or bust as far as the playoff for Oklahoma. But, yeah, you're dead on. Money's the top 10 reasons why they're doing it, but also the secure the school financially and long-term by being in the nation's most powerful conference.
Right now we're talking to Brett McMurphy. He is America's college football insider, doing great work over at Stadium. The question that I think is maybe most relevant locally is, well, what happens to the other eight teams in the Big 12? If you're a team like Kansas, if you're a team like Kansas State, if you're Iowa State, one of the schools that are sort of local here in Kansas City, what do you think is next for those institutions?
It's funny. I text somebody that was on the Big 12 call yesterday, and I said, do you guys try to add some schools from the Pac-12, Colorado, Utah, the Arizona schools, and beef up your membership that way? Or do you maybe go, and if they're not open to that, do you maybe go and and get the best group of five teams, Cincinnati, Boise, BYU, UCF, whoever that group is? Or do you just kind of, does everybody just go out on their own? Kansas is in Iowa State or AAU schools. That's very attractive to the Big Ten. West Virginia, geographically, would be a great fit for the ACC, and they need one member to balance off with Notre Dame if they ever join. Or did that happen? And it was funny that he responded to me, and he said, all of the above. So they're basically, that's something they've got to figure out. I would guess that the conference will try to stick together. But even if the conference is going to try to stick together, and you guys are in Kansas or near Kansas, if you're Kansas and you get a call from the Big Ten, bye-bye Big 12. I mean, that's the reality. You know what? That sucks. I'm an Oklahoma State grad, so I've got, you know, some skin in this game. But if you're Kansas, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're Iowa State, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're West Virginia, absolutely, you go to the ACC. So I think it depends on if the Big Ten and the ACC reach out to those schools, then the Big 12 implodes, or they just add a bunch of group of five schools. If the ACC and Big Ten does not reach out to those schools, then maybe the Big 12 can stay together by either trying to get some Pac-12 schools, which personally I think is unlikely, or they just try to bulk up the membership by adding some group of five schools. But actually, one conference source told me today, he said, hey, don't be surprised if they just stay at eight schools. Yeah, let's get out the old Big Eight logos. Because, again, the television rights divided by eight schools would be more money than the television rights divided by 12 schools if those four additional schools are teams like Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, UCF.
Last question here for Brett McMurphy, who covers college football for Stadium. Brett, with everything you're saying, it certainly sounds like we are headed down a path that gets us to four super leagues, that the SEC now is going to have 16 teams. The Big Ten is going to add a couple of members. They'll get to 16 teams. We know how this goes. Once a couple dominoes falls, that means the ACC probably adds Notre Dame as a full member. The Pac-12 gets their teams. Do you think we're headed to a place in college athletics where there's just four absolute superpowers and then none of the other conferences matter?
You know, I think we do, and I hate that that's going to happen, because then I think college football turns into the NFL, and I hate that, but I think you're dead on. That's a very real possibility. The only thing that I would disagree with what you said is I still think Notre Dame stays an independent. They'll be aligned with the ACC and everything but football, but they'll still be in the power grid, if you will. And the Pac-12, maybe they don't get up to 16 just because geography-wise they don't have a lot of options out that way. But yeah, I think we're going to see I think we're going to see four power leagues. I think they're going to split away from the NCAA, create their own, you know, model, govern their leagues the way they see fit, and move on. How that impacts teams not in the power leagues, that's hard to say. Will they still play non-conference games against those guys, or will those schools merge with the smaller FCS schools? You know, again, to your previous question, it's all gonna boil down to how much money is it going to benefit these schools being in these power leagues, and the ones that aren't in the school, how can they stay relevant and make the most money? Is that to merge with smaller schools? That's kind of the unknown, but certainly that's the domino effect of OU and Texas to the SEC.
And that is Brett McMurphy joining us on the show today. He is America's college football insider for Stadium. Brett, great information. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. That's Brett McMurphy joining us on the show today. There is so much to respond to what he had to say. I also have a toss-up question for you guys. We'll do all that. Stick around. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
All right, we're going to dive a lot deeper into this coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also take phone calls in the 3 o'clock hour too, 913-576-7610. I could talk about conference realignment for the next 18 hours on this show. But I do want to hear from you guys, 913-576-7610. Maybe a early thought before we really dive deep into it at 3 o'clock. This day was always going to happen. It's funny because I was having a conversation with somebody about stuff that was going on the world. And we were having a conversation of how COVID has really accelerated things. For example, Rob, we saw that they were making the switch to digital tickets pre-COVID. There was certainly much more of an emphasis on getting your tickets via email or through your phone than them printing them off and handing them to you and mailing them to you and all the costs that are associated with that. But once COVID happened, it was a very convenient, well, we don't need to spend this anymore. We don't want to hand tickets physically from person to person. We'll just send them through the phone. So COVID, to me, accelerated a process that was always going to happen. But instead of it happening in 2031, it's now happening in 2021. Let's not kid ourselves about why this is happening. Sure, money is part of it. But Rob, you know my stance on this show from day one. These colleges lost so much money during COVID that they have to do something drastic to catch back up. If you're Texas or LSU or Alabama, you factor in every year an exorbitant amount of money that you are going to get because of football revenue, because of tickets, because of parking, because of people staying in hotels and people buying drinks and apparel and all the things that are associated with you running a billion-dollar business the way that college football is. Last year, the money well dried up, unexpected for everybody. No one prepares to run a business in which you are not bringing in typical revenue, or your revenue is going to drop by 85%, 80%, 75%. There's not a business model that's sustainable for. So if you have the big payouts, you've got the big facilities, and you're trying to keep everything up, you have to do something drastic to make up that money. It's not a surprise to me that now that we're coming off the back end of COVID, so to speak, I know we're still dealing with it in some forms, but for the most part, America is back open. It's not a surprise to me that the season after the COVID year, we can't do this anymore. Hey, the financial splits, because my understanding, and Rob, tell me if I'm saying anything that's out of turn here, ESPN and the SEC are certainly in bed together. And the ESPN is probably the biggest endorser of the Southeastern Conference. They just locked up a big deal because the CBS deal with the SEC is expiring. ESPN is now taking on that deal. So ESPN is the most invested in the success of the Southeastern Conference. Let's not fool ourselves about what this really is about. The money is the television money and the exorbitant amount that ESPN just paid, and they are going to continue to pay to keep that conference healthy and viable and the premier entity in American sports aside from the NFL. So you have that aspect of it, and now you're going to the television deals. If you're the Big 12 and you're trying to get something close and to match it, and the money's not going to be the same as it was for the SEC, and you're thinking to yourself, well, hold on. Missouri's about to make $76 million? hold on, Vanderbilt's about to make that? But if we join, think what that 76 can turn into, and it can recoup and recover the money that we just lost in COVID. I could be off here. I could be wrong. This is just me spitballing. This is just my take on the situation. But it's not that surprising to me that right after COVID, Texas, who has always dangled the, well, we could leave. I mean, we knew that back in 2011, 2012, that it was not a marriage. It was a situationship. It was beneficial for both people. We like hanging out. We like messing around, but we don't want to really be committed to each other. You do your thing, we'll do our thing, and we'll see how long this thing can work. Then COVID happened, and COVID messed up a lot of people's plans. The Big 12 maybe goes on for another 15 years, another 20 years. But if you're Oklahoma and you're Texas and you're looking at that huge pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, that is not there in the Big 12. It's in the SEC. It's you joining the largest, most successful, most powerful conference ever put together. That's what it's about. You got Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, A&M. You have marquee national brands all in one league. Can you imagine what the number's going to look like for Texas, Alabama? How much money everybody stands to make? They quit caring about the little guy like us a long time ago in terms of competitiveness, travel, all of that kind of stuff. This is all about maximizing television dollars because live sports is the one thing that television companies will still spend big money on. It's the only thing that we all watch. When you really think about the television audience, the way that it's put together today, the only thing that all of us watch is football. Masked Singer is a very popular show. I imagine a lot of you don't watch Masked Singer. Some of you probably do. Maybe you watch it with your wife. Maybe you enjoy it. Game of Thrones, for as popular as we think Game of Thrones was, it didn't really get super popular till the end when it started getting football numbers. The only thing in America that we all watch is football. So if you're Texas and your number one business is football, you're trying to be where the television money is. ESPN's giving it out. Handing it out like Halloween candy. They're not handing it out to the Big 12. They don't want Iowa State. They're not interested in Texas Tech. That's not the business that they're dabbling in. So you got to do it. We are going to see a drastically different college athletics here in the next 5 years. We're going to talk more about it coming up the top, and I do want to take your phone calls, but if what Brett McMurphy said is the plan moving forward, it is one of the worst plans I've ever heard. Legitimately one of the worst plans I've ever heard. I'll tell you why. We'll take your phone calls, 913-576-7610. It would appear that the Big 12, its health bar is very low right now. I'm talking about blinking red low right now. What do you guys think? 913-576-7610. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.